Wakey coasties. When the sun rises over the best place on earth, these guys are here to wake you up and get you ready for the day. Paddy and Rob Palmer for breakfast on the coast 107.7 Triple M.
G'day, Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is our podcast for Thursday, the 14th of October. And if you are having a wager this weekend on the Everest, there's one horse you'd be getting aboard.
That's right.
Trekking.
Local jockey Josh Parr.
Gonna ride trekking home.
Yeah. He can't win it. He might know who can.
That's exactly right. Also, how much, if he wins, if he, as a jockey, wins the Everest, how much does he get to take home? We'll find out that in the podcast.
It'd want to be a good chunk of 15 mil.
Oh, I hope so. And Central Coast Council Administrator Rick Hart, we go behind the scenes of the inquiry. That's on our podcast today. If someone does well on the Central Coast, what do?
Oh, we just jump on it.
Yeah, we jump on their bandwagon.
Hold on.
Oh, do we? We're with them all the way. We're like Morris Goolagong. We just jump on any side that does well. Business New South Wales is pleased to announce the winners for Business New South Wales 2021 Central Coast New South Wales Central Coast Business of the Year. And it went to SpotGo, the men. The man behind SpotGo is Brendan. He joins us this morning.
G'day, Brendan. G'day, guys. How are you going?
Good, mate. Congratulations,
you
buddy.
You must be thrilled.
Oh, we were absolutely over the moon. Honestly, we had absolutely zero expectations of any of this. We just, Nancy and I and the team, we just sit here and work away and chip away at little goals. But to achieve this and have Business New South Wales recognise our hard work, it's just over. We're just, yeah, beside ourselves. Yeah, yeah. It's great.
And I guess, I mean, some of this might have come out of you guys, you know, managing to get stocked in the major supermarkets. That would have helped you along the way, you reckon?
Yeah, Rob. Yeah, absolutely. And we were fortunate enough also last year to be engaged by Premier's Department to come up with some much needed PET on the spot, which we were able to do and get our antibacterial spray out and our hand sanitizer. So I think it's a combination of sort of working in COVID and as well as kicking some great goals, getting into Woolworths and Coles with our barbecue plant. So, I think it's a combination of a few things.
And if you're not quite sure, SpotGo do the cleaning products you find online and in the supermarkets. But as you said, the barbecue degreaser has just gone national.
That's right. Yeah, it's national Woolworths, national Coles now. And just quietly, we're now in talks with IGA Australia. So we're well on the way in that direction as well. So, that's a little bit of a news flash, but they've also reached out to us. So fingers crossed we might be in all IGAs too with some of our products.
It's amazing. It's great stuff. Paddy's wife sprays him down head to toe. When
every morning.
Enters the house.
Yeah. If anything's going to fix it, Rob, it's going to be SpotGo. I'll tell you that.
and that's not with the cleaning spray. That's with the barbecue degreaser.
I have no doubt. Now, as we spoke last time, don't use it on your teeth.
No, exactly.
And not ideal as deodorant either.
Now, Central Coast Business of the Year winners 2021, do you have that on your name tag? Surely you must.
Oh, Brendan. Absolutely. Yeah, we've gotten our IT people to put that on the Facebook page and all over website and what have you. And we also got innovation for building that that new product for Premier's Department, the antibacterial spray. So that was a really big achievement for the team to come up with that. So that innovation award was meant so much to us as well.
Yeah.
So,
sign writers will be busy, Brendan. Good on you, mate. That's great news.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, we're getting there slowly. We're chipping away at it, that's for sure. So looking forward to the state night, which is in November. So I couldn't sort of all the other businesses that were involved, and there was just some incredible businesses that won some incredible awards.
Yeah, but they did not win Business of the Year. Just saying, they did not win Business of the Year, Brendan.
You guys are a bit biased over there at Triple M, and I've got to say too, guys, like Triple M has been a massive support to SpotGo for the last 9-10 years since we launched the business. Triple M has always stood up to help promote where you guys can. So I couldn't thank you guys enough in that space as well.
Well, at least we can do. Brendan Small.
Happy to help, Brendo.
Good on you, mate.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
There he is, Brendan Small, the owner, he and Nancy of SpotGo, crowned 2021 Central Coast Business of the Year.
And if you're a small business, any sort of small business, come over. Yeah. Triple M will help you along the way.
Look, the words cluster mess, calamity and smoking guns.
Cluster mess. I'm glad you've
They weren't used to describe what we do here at Triple M. They were used by former interim administrator Dick Person as he gave evidence into the financial crisis of the Central Coast Council. That's been going on for a few weeks. To find out more, we've got Council Administrator Rick Hart. He joins us this morning. G'day, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Good morning, guys.
How you going, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I've got my little stint over with the inquiry, so one can relax now.
Gee, you sound fresh. Oh, are you in your speedos ready for a swim? Prof and Phil said that it's a little bit untidy today.
Well, look, it's a little, the weather hasn't quite come to the party yet, but no doubt it will at some stage.
Rick, you gave your evidence to the inquiry. Dick has been doing it as well, former councillors, the mayor. Mate, how long before the inquiry wraps up?
Oh, look, that's anybody's guess. There's still obviously a few more people for the commissioner to talk to. Then she's got to look at all the information, and every person who had an opportunity to contribute also has another opportunity to put another submission in. So she'll have to take those into consideration if people do that. And then she's got to write it all up and come to a conclusion. So, look, with the best will in the world, I wouldn't expect anything until early next year.
And what's the outcome after everyone gives their evidence? She wraps it up. She writes up the report. What will happen from there?
She will make some recommendations,
right,
about how to avoid this sort of thing happening again. Her approach has been quite clearly not to apportion blame per se, but more to find out what actually went wrong and try to make sure that whoever needs to, and it might be legislative changes or it might be changes that the state government's got to make, to try and make sure that this event doesn't happen again. So it will be recommendations which will go to the government, and the government, I hope, will implement them.
Could this be helped, or could this have been avoided somewhat if there'd been maybe some formal training of councillors and various staff going into these roles? Because I think there was comments made that these people are coming from all walks of life and there's no actual prerequisite for them to be a councillor.
I think that's going to be one of the very, very big questions. It's right at the heart of the problem as to what the commissioner is going to have to grapple with, because you're correct, as you know, with any election, you only see what you can read about a person. And they make promises, or they make, they say they're going to do this and to do that. And they're always doing that in isolation of actually getting into the position and actually knowing what's going on. So the trouble is, once you make pre-commitments, you kind of sort of feel, I think, individually that you've got to live up to them. So there's a lot to do. And one of the often quoted saying is, you are elected by representation, but once you are there, you are acting for the whole. So you get in because you are elected by a ward or an area, and then once you're there, you have to operate more as a, I'll say as a board, because I actually believe that, like Dick Person does. But that's the conundrum, because other people say, well, no, they're not board members. Well, then you just have to ask yourself the question, who is running the organisation and accountable?
Could anyone be charged after the inquiry is delivered?
No, I don't believe anyone will do that. There was no intent. There was no, malpractice or fraud or corruption or anything like that.
Paddy Gerard makes a lot of promises he doesn't follow through with, and we can't charge him either. So I hear where you're coming from.
Exactly.
Don't entertain him, Rick. Do not entertain him. All right, mate. Well, listen, thanks so much. It's always good to go behind the scenes of what's been happening. And council, in the council itself, how are things looking?
Look, we put the draft financial reports to the council. You know, they came to council on Tuesday night. And the results are reasonable. They are what we indicated they would be, I think, about 3 weeks ago. But there was two changes, and the first change was that the official sort of accounting bodies, which is called the International Financial Reporting Standards Interpretations Committee, made a decision that when you use the cloud-based software, you can't capitalise it. You have to expense it. So typically up to now, any organisation, be it private or public, has capitalised, a software as a service, SaaS, so which is the cloud. So they just made us turn around and expense it, which added another $1.5 million dollars to the deficit or loss. And then on top of that, we had to do a revaluation of the water and sewer and drainage assets. They haven't been done for a number of years. In fact, they were last done in the former Wyong and in the former Gosford by different people. So as you can imagine, there were some different valuations around. So when you sorted all the ins and outs of that, we came, there was a net $29 million reduction in the asset values, particularly in the sewerage area. So we have to therefore take that up as a book loss, in other words, add it to the formal deficit. So it went, that took it up to a deficit of $91.5 million. But bear in mind that $29 million is a non-cash item. It doesn't impact our cash position one iota. So we're on the way up.
Getting there. All right, mate.
We're getting there.
Slowly but surely. All right, nice Rick Hart, Administrator, Central Coast Council. Well, Star Trek's William Shatner, Rob, has reached space aboard the Blue Origin vessel, and the rocket took off at West Texas, and it's landed back down.
Unbelievable.
90 years old. And this is what the Shatmeister said after landing back down on Earth.
Everybody in the world needs to do...
I'm going to drink a punch. Cheers, guys.
Everybody in the world needs to see. It was so moving to me. This experience is something unbelievable.
To find out more, we've got Channel 9 senior Eurus correspondent Amelia Adams. She joins us this morning. Amelia?
Hello, Amelia.
Good morning. What an exciting morning. I know how much you guys, especially you, Rob, love your space launches, and so do I. And I've got to say, I got up early here to watch this one. And then it was delayed because of the wind in Texas. It was already delayed 24 hours. They pushed it back a couple of hours. So by the time this was due to launch, I was actually dropping my kids at school. And, you know, we sat outside the school in the car at T-minus 2 minutes because my children were so invested after I told them there's an Australian on board this rocket going to space, Chris Boschhausen. They don't know who William Shatner is. They'd never heard of him, but they were really into it because of the Aussie on board. So a couple of big draw cards today, but it was amazing to watch it, obviously, you know, launch and blast off. But I love that return to Earth and that scene that you just replayed there of William Shatner. He got really emotional, didn't he, when he was talking to Jeff Bezos and just said, you know, this is something everyone in the world should do, which Bezos, by the way, will love because what a PR boost for his space tourism business.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, look, I've always understood that astronauts had to train for years and there was this massive physical exertion they went through to go into space, and now they're throwing 90-year-olds up there. It sort of flies in the face of all of what the astronauts used to do. Is it just possible for anyone to do this?
Well, hang on a second. I mean, William Shatner has got years and years of experience in space, clearly.
Exactly, Amelia. Exactly.
He ran the ship.
But in reality, you're absolutely right. They do, they say it's intensive training in terms of a bit of suiting up and zero gravity stuff. They have to sit an exam. But you're right. The point of this is that anyone can go to space now. That's what we saw. You know, I think I spoke to you guys from Virgin's launch, Richard Branson, when he first went up. That was the first one, the first space tourism flight ever early this year. Then Bezos did his flight and he was on board, the second one. And he had, you know, 82-year-old Wally Funk. So William Shatner has gazumped her now as the oldest person in history. And that's the point, to show that literally anyone can go on board one of these flights. You don't have to be an astronaut. In fact, there are no astronauts on board. I mean, there was a Blue Origin employee on board this flight. But, you know, the others, as you said, an actor, a 90-year-old actor, and then the Australian who was a paying guest, Chris Boschhausen. He's a former NASA engineer and just a really cool. He's actually a great down-to-earth guy. He's from the Snowy Mountains. He wouldn't tell us how much he paid to jump on Bezos' second human space flight, but you can bet it's a lot of money to have that experience if you're not William Shatner.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, you had Wally Funk, the only person over 82. She thought, I'm the only one over 80, and now it's Funk and Shatner together.
she'd be off, wouldn't she?
she's completely...
She would. She's got a good sense of humour, though, Wally Funk, so I reckon she'd be all right about it, but she didn't hold that record for long, did she?
Amelia, so now, as you said, this would be a great endorsement for space travel. Do you think people will be booking for the next trip out?
Well, Jeff Bezos says he's already sold about $140 million worth of flights
he says business is booming and that it's, you know, it's almost like it's not easy. They can only go, obviously, but like the first one was in July, so what are we now? October. So they go every couple of months.
Mm.
There's four seats on them and they're generally sort of doing, you know, one employee and one guest, paid guest. So they're only kind of putting two paying customers on at the moment at a time. And they've got a wait list and the same with Virgin. I know from Richard Branson's launch, they said they've got a wait list of like 700, you know, fully paying customers. So long term, you know, they want to be sending these flights up pretty regularly. You're looking at, if you talk to these guys, you're looking at their reality is that you'll be able to just book it like you would, you know, a flight to the, you know, maybe not a flight to the Gold Coast, maybe not, you know, five times a day, but certainly a couple of times a week, they'll just be able to send joyrides to space.
Yeah, wow. I give Bezos about five more flights before he stops checking every time they land to make sure everyone's alive.
I know, doesn't he run out there and he jumps the thumbs up in the window, yes, everyone's fine, and then I love he had the champagne. I don't know if you guys saw, but he actually offered that champagne first to William Shatner, and Shatner was so kind of rattled and overwhelmed, he sort of waved it off. So Jeff Bezos did the big champagne shower, and they've got an after party there today, is my understanding. We do have a correspondent on the ground. I'm very, very jealous of her, but I've had my share of space launches, so you can watch Alison Petrowski's live reports on the Today Show and Nine News. She's having a great time in Texas today.
Oh, Amelia Adams from LA. Thanks very much for joining us, Amelia.
Good to talk to you.
Oh, it's on this weekend. It's only worth $15 million, the Everest. And there's a local feel.
A little bit of pee in a cup.
We have got our very local jockey riding in the event. His name is Josh Parr. He joins us this morning.
Hey, Josh.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you, sir?
Terrific. Yeah, feeling really good.
Mate, how's it been through COVID with you guys, with jockeys?
It's been bizarre, to put it bluntly. We've been racing. We've been able to carry on with racing, which has been great. But we've had no crowd. There's been no atmosphere. It's been quite a strange experience.
Mm. God, that's bloody like our radio show. Exactly the same, Joshy. We know how you feel, mate.
That's it.
But it is bizarre, isn't it, mate? It is bizarre. Here you are on, normally it's a thunderous applause coming to the straight.
That's right.
You got nothing.
Yeah, we've had Group 1 racing recently in Sydney and you know, really big, exciting events. And usually you swing into the straight there, let's say at Randwick, and you can start to hear the murmur of the crowd, and then it gets, the intensity just builds and builds and builds all the way to the finish line. And then when you cross the finish line, the sound and the atmosphere coming from the stands is very unique. And as I said, it's been missing. So it's a very bizarre situation. Obviously, you still get into that competitive mode when you step onto the track, but it is going to be very nice to have some atmosphere back at the racecourse.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know a great deal about racing, but look, I know that you have international horses come in and out. Have they been? I mean, you're only racing Australian horses at the moment, I'd imagine. Is it easier to win?
I think we have the best sprinters in the world anyway, and the Everest is a sprint race. However, when you get to the longer distance races, say the Caulfield Cup or the Melbourne Cup, that's when the international horses really come into their own. So, yeah, it will be an interesting year in Melbourne in that regard.
Now, Joshy, this weekend you're riding number 5, trekking in the $15 million Everest. If your horse wins, which it will,
yeah,
how much do you get?
I think it's around the $300,000 mark.
Oh,
yeah,
right, okay.
Something within that vicinity. Yeah,
$300,000 should be 10 times that.
I know, right?
You can't win a race without a jockey. Just tell them that,
exactly,
Josh.
Right. Would you like a job as the president for the Jockeys Association?
I'm on.
Mate, this is a big race, though, mate. $15 million.
Yeah, it's terrific. It's getting bigger and bigger each year. It's gaining momentum. It's obviously a new race, and Racing New South Wales tried to target a younger audience, and I think they're succeeding with that. So with this race, the Everest, it's going to continue to get bigger, and hopefully I can be involved many years to come.
Oh, Josh, if you weren't in it, right, and you had to pick a winner, and you weren't in it because you're going to win, obviously.
Number five trekking.
Yeah, number five trekking. If you weren't there, who's going to cross the line first, second, third, you reckon?
Oh, good question. I'll say classic legend, Masked Crusader, Geetra.
Right.
All right, got that.
Okay. All right, well, down. Mate, all the best.
All box behind trekking. Okay.
Mate, all the best. And when you do win the Everest on Saturday and take home $300,000, yeah. Geez, bloody good.
Paddy's angling for a lunch, a free lunch here.
We'll get to the Joker and see. We'll have a lunch at the Joker
all
and
right,
see.
Mate, you've won down me. You've won me. And we'll speak to you Monday because we jump on a bandwagon, Joshy. So, mate, all the best on that race on Saturday, buddy.
Go well.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You know what, Paddy?
I know.
For friends of Triple M and family to bulk up the numbers,
yeah.
Download the Listener app.
We're talking LISTNR.
Yep. And if you favourite breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer.
You are legends.
Well, yeah, that's very good of you. And you can listen anytime you like.